Good morning, church. It is with great pleasure that I get to introduce our guest speaker today. I am very happy that he and his family were able to make the journey from Abilene to be with us today. Our guest speaker is Vinicio Montes de Oca, and most of us know him as Vinny. He was a past member here for several years, and currently he's in Abilene and doing the ministry work there that we have recently started supporting. And he is my brother, my friend, and my partner as we travel to Mexico visiting the missions down there. And again, I'm so grateful that he's here, and I ask that you give him your undivided attention for the next few minutes. Thank you so much. Benny.
Buenos dias. That's nice. It's great to be home again. 13 years ago, I came to this church, and Mr. BW was on that door saying, "How you doing?" I didn't understand what he's trying to say. Honestly, I need to confess that. Because when I was trying to learn some English, you know, is that like, how are you? No, how you doing? But I can remember those faces. And then Miss Wanda invited me to have a dinner one night in a nice restaurant. And of course, you remember Dane doing all the process to come to for me coming here. And the Copelands adopting me. And then Adam Sandoval talking to me in Spanish. It was a great release for me. But all of these people here, this church, being so good for me. This church being the hands, the arms, the support for my life. And when I came, I was single. July of 2009. I've been married now for 12 years, and my first son is 11 years old. My daughter is 7. So I'm so excited to be here this morning. Thank you for having me. And I need to say that my time here in Leander, in Austin, in the States, in Texas, being a really good time to understand more and more about God. And now I'm going to share something I understand. And I know I have just 5 minutes to say this because I have more stuff to share with you. But these 5 minutes, I want to read about Peter. I don't know if it's working. Oh, so we normally assuming that Peter wrote his first letter, right? But if he wrote this, he's saying, as you come to him, the living stone, you also like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, offering a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. When we read this letter, we normally read, you know, the letters on the paper. But I'm going to invite you, and in some point I'm going to challenge you to go a little farther and don't think about the letters, the ink on the paper or your screens. Let's talk about the character who was writing these things. And he came with a conclusion or the meditation saying, you know what? Jesus Christ is the living stone. But why he got these words? How? If you remember about Peter, for me, it's the most excited character in the Bible. You know, he's pretty rude sometimes. He's not very well educated, but he's the best example of the spiritual process in life. If you remember, if you have been, you have seen any movie about Jesus and Peter. So one day, Peter is fishing, and he got nothing at the morning. And Jesus say, "Hey, I know you are Peter. You know what? Go a little farther and throw your net." And he was like, "Well, I've been doing this all night. Come on, what do you expect?" But anyway, I know a little bit about you. You've been doing weird things here. I'm going to listen to you and I'm going there. And he went. And after, I don't know, a couple hours maybe, he started looking for help. Too much fish. But the problem is not the fish. The problem is the challenge he got there now. Because I was listening to this weird guy. Believe me. And that's where he starts his new journey, his spiritual transformation. If you can travel a little bit with him, when he was looking like Jesus is healing somebody who's sick, one day Peter is saying, "I know you, Jesus. I know now you better. Do me a favor. My mother-in-law is not feeling good. Help me." And then I got, "Jesus, I go with him." You know, he goes with him and he healed her. And now, I can't believe this, but the relationship between Peter and Jesus is really close. But Peter can say, "Jesus is the living stone," because he been with Jesus. And that's the key for spiritual transformation in our lives if you want to do that. It's being with Jesus, staying with him, being close to him, seeing what he is able to do and what he wants for us. You remember one day when these soldiers came to arrest Jesus? What Peter does? He got his sword or his knife, whatever he got, and he said, "Don't touch him." "Oh, you need to beat me first." And I don't know if he was crying or he was so angry, but he was defending Jesus because Jesus was his friend. Relationships are so important for Jesus. And yes, the problem is, at that moment, the problem is Peter couldn't understand what's going on. But Jesus is not saying, "Peter, you're not good enough for me." Think about this. How many times Jesus was doing this with Peter? I would say several. But never, Jesus never gave up with Peter. And that's why Peter is saying, "Hey, Jesus Christ is the living stone. And now, all of you are living stones too. Being built into a spiritual house. Offering spiritual sacrifices." My reading of this segment or this paragraph is about Peter, deeper than just the letters. And Peter is saying the way we offer spiritual sacrifices is the way we're walking with Jesus. This is my interpretation. You can have your own. But I see Peter understanding what Jesus has been doing with people. Because now I see that the main purpose of Jesus on the earth was people. That's why he was talking with ladies. And you know what happened with ladies at that time? With people who are not Jewish. And you know what Jewish think about other people, Gentiles? People Jesus was talking with sinners, tax collectors. Now I understand that Peter got the idea of Jesus, and he's saying, Jesus is the cornerstone. Come on, guys, we need to get this part. And I'm saying these things because, again, it's my understanding of Peter today. But I invited here to talk about missions. And I can't avoid this part because Jesus was a missionary. And Peter was missionary later. And you know everything about Peter. How great he was doing over there. So I'm going to share with you after this the things all of you guys been contributing to happen back there in Mexico. Because we understand better that Jesus is the living stone. And let me share a little bit about this. I don't know, it's not big enough. But that's the building and the preaching school in Huichihuayan. Huichihuayan. That's okay, don't worry. Huichihuayan is a little town with a lot of problems, as we know, but with nice people. I love when I'm there. Not just because the good food, but the time, and Adam is going to be with me in this understanding. The time we can hug these people. The time we can say, hey, how you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? It's great to see you again. The time we share. The time we laugh. The time we're together. The time we walk together. But this is the school. And as I said, this is the little building they have. But here's the most important thing. The impact this little preaching school has over all the little towns around. Every Saturday, all of these people come down from the mountains. Some people are walking for 2-3 hours. I'm saying the truth. 2-3 hours. They are walking. It doesn't matter if it's raining or it's so hot, it's so humid. They are walking because they want to learn. And they are there. So I can see how important is this organization. Because they can learn more about Bible. But overall, they can learn more about God, more about Jesus, and how Jesus becomes the living stone in their lives, and how they later are sharing with others. Because they are preaching, they are helping, they are working in their little towns too, on their own churches. And then I want to share with you. This is René Guzman and his wife and two girls, and one more is coming pretty soon. But René now is the director of the school over there. How he been growing? I know him like 4 years ago, but Adam knows him so many years ago. And if you have a chance to talk to Adam about the school, Adam can share with you that this school was struggling in some point very hard. But then God been providing Adam and others helping over there. And now we got a lot of peace. And this preaching school working with others, helping others, and sending this light, this spiritual light, to other places. This is another couple, Sam Mendes and his wife Yadira. They've been teaching in school too. I mean, Sam been teaching. And I forgot to say that Renee is a preacher in a church too. And Sam preaches in two churches every Sunday. And they are teaching in the preaching school now. When we start talking, we can stop. Because it's so amazing to talk to them. So this is, you know, I don't have a lot of time, I know, but this is the preaching school that you brothers and sisters been supporting. This is a nice thing. If one day you have the chance to go over there, do it. And let me say this. If you got the chance to go there, not just over there, but if you got the chance to go over there and be in contact with these people, maybe there's the same feeling like Jesus had when he was on earth. I'm just saying. Briefly, I'm going to share with you our last mission trip over there. In the preaching school, you know, Adam calls me and he say, "Vinny, you need to teach over there." I do it. But I was trying to teach a seminar over there. And it was whole morning. And there's all these people. I know it's not very clear, but you can see people over there. And they are hungry to learn more. And they came walking. Hours in the bus sometimes. They're there. And the purpose is another one. It's okay. The purpose is to do something with them. Helping. If we got some knowledge, we want to share with them. And helping. But after this time in the morning in the preaching school, bringing all the preachers and sometimes his wife and other people coming from several little towns around this Wichiwayan town, we start our marathonic mission trip because we start visiting this church in the afternoon. We call El Nacimiento. And they are together and they are bringing some food. At the time, we were talking to them, and I was speaking there. I mean, you can see the faces, the joy they have, because they are there, and because they have us. How much hospitality you can feel over there. At night, we went to another church. This is in a house. People came, get together. More food. And then we start talking to them. Encouraging them. It's a time for Bible study, a conversation about Bible, and all of that stuff. And that's Saturday. On Sunday, we start at 9 a.m. And we go to Matlapa, the church where Angel Guzman preached. Then we start there at 9 a.m. We preach over there. We talk to them. Our food. We got so good time, great time with them. So after that, this is 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We drove about maybe an hour or so. And then we got in the next place, that which I don't remember the name, but Adam knows. But here is another church waiting for us and preaching again and having time with all of them. And forgive me if I'm using a lot of time, but I can't avoid to share this story. When we finish all our meeting there, there's a girl, 18 or 19 years old. And she started sharing with me her life, and it's not the best at that moment. And then one of the leaders talked to me and say, "Hey, Brother Vinny, we've been talking with this girl, lady, and we don't know how to do some discipline for her." And I asked him, "So you're looking for discipline, and let me ask you first, how much you have been investing on her? How much help you've been providing to her?" And the conversation changed completely. I said something like, "You got a nice church building here. Very well painted outside. It's really nice." And I say, "How much did you invest on painting all of this? Now tell me how much you've been investing to help this girl." But I believe that's why we're there. God is using us or somebody else to do something. And then at 5 in the afternoon, another church, preaching again. Hospitality over there is incredible. Before we left, this is the family. If you can see the guy of orange, that's Angel Guzman. He's the grandpa. And Rene, which I mentioned before, is the son. So we have 3 generations in church now. Because this church and others been supporting that work. Because you're convinced, as Peter, that Jesus is the living stone. So this is, and this is the team we went to Mexico. And it's Adam and Ben, Terry, his mom, his daughter, and me. Now, that's just the first part. Be patient, please. So here's the another part you are supporting too, which is in Abilene, Texas. And that's why I'm saying this is, Peter for me is the best character about spiritual transformation. That's what I call the ministry over there, a spiritual transformation. And the cycle of this is something like this. You know, this is wood, just from the tree. But it's ready to be shaped. And Jesus did that with Peter, with all his apostles. And that's what I am trying to do over there too. I'm not Jesus at all. I'm not saying that. But I'm trying to follow him in some way. And then, this is just an example. You know, from the wood in the tree, now we have some shapes. And with those shapes, we can build something. And when we build something, that is going to help others. The impact, the people can be in the transformational process. It's going to impact in their families first, in their co-workers, in their lives. So, This is the cycle I use to explain what happens. The ministry really is that I talk to people and I invite to be part of little groups, 3 or 4, no more than that, because the idea is to build a very confidence environment, invoking the presence of God and talking about our lives. I use a little curriculum from Mission Alive, which is an organization who been working, planting churches, making discipleship first. So this discipleship is what I'm working with. So then when we got these groups, we meet once a week. And once a week, we have some homework, some spiritual exercises. And because with those spiritual exercises, we have some encounter with God, we have some spiritual experience with God, we come and share that part. And that is accountability, and that is responsibility, and that is commitment. And you know, we're trying to see a God who is not just on Sunday's morning worship time. We're trying to discover it. A God who can be with us every single day. And we can have a relationship with Him. So then I can show you the first fruit, the first result. So we have now 3 groups. Two is in town in Abilene. And guess what? We get together in McDonald's. More food, you're right. We have something to drink, sometimes something to eat, because the food is also a spiritual link. That's my son. But when we got together, we trust each other. We can talk about our spiritual exercises, but also we can talk about our lives. And then we are building our relationship. What we have over there is friendship. And we support each other. Now one of these guys got his car broken one day and he started calling us. It was the first time. It was great because we can support each other, trying to bring Jesus Christ to our lives. And also, you see a Zoom screen over there. I'm working with people in Ecuador, where I'm from. I'm working with people in Mexico. And what I see is how can God expand His kingdom? And the time we can work together, and the time we can grow together, and the time we can go farther to the lake or to the sea to fish more and more like Peter. So this is the couple of ministries I can share with you, and how God been blessing us, how God been using us as His instruments. Because I believe we are His instruments. I believe we are His tools. I remember years ago, I was in a fundraising big meeting dinner. And at the end of the dinner, when everyone was finished with the food, there's a preacher came to the front and say, "Hey guys, get your checkbook and write a big check for these things." And I was learning at that time. And I'm going to say something else. I said, "Get your checkbook for this Mission Sunday. But before you start writing something on the check, think about what God is trying to do with that." In other words, what I'm trying to say, and it's a big challenge, is how this check or money or whatever you want to call, how this becomes a spiritual help. When I talk to people asking for be my partner in this ministry, I say, honestly, I don't want just your money. I need somebody who every time he is donating something, is thinking about how God is working here and praying for that and asking God, God, be with this ministry and saying, Vinny or others, how can I help you? How can I support you more and more? In other words, this is a faith thing. Brothers and sisters, again, it's great to be here, home. Thank you for this great opportunity. And I know God is ready to use all of you, this congregation, to go farther and fish more and more. May God bless you.